closed door on the first floor. She's listening to the air shaft to see how long our swan song can last. And both hands, now use both hands. Oh, now don't close your eyes. I am writing graffiti on your body. I am drawing the story that how hard we try. And I am watching your chest rise and fall like the tides of my life. And I've rested it all. And your bones have been my bed frame, and your flesh has been my pillow. I've been waiting for sleep to offer up that deep with both hands. Oh, with both hands. Of a shadow we grew less and less tall, and eventually our theories couldn't explain it all. And I'm recording our history now on the bedroom wall. And when we leave, the landlord will come and paint over it all. And I'm walking out in the rain, and I am listening to the rumble of the bell tone again. And I am getting nowhere with you, and I can't let it go, and I can't get through. Use both hands. Oh, no, don't close your eyes. I am writing graffiti on your body. I am drawing the story of how hard we tried. How hard we tried. How hard we tried.
Next, Battle of Spears, Broadsides.
My old man was a good old man, stilled in the molding tray. In the stinking heat of the iron foundry, my old man was made. Down on his knees in the molding sand, he wore his trade like a company brand. He was one of the Cyclops' smoky band. Yes, that was my old man. My old man wasn't really old, it was just that I was young. And anybody over 12 years old was halfway to the tomb. He was loyal to his workmates all his life, gave his pay packet to his wife. Had a few jars on a Saturday night, yes, that was my old man. My old man was a union man, fought out all his days. He understood the system and was wise to the boss's ways. He said, if you want what's yours by right, you'll have to struggle with all your might. They'll rob you blind if you don't fight. Some, that was my old man. My old man was a proud old man at home on the foundry floor, until the day they paid him off and showed him to the door. They gave him his card, said things are slack, we've got a machine, can learn the knack of doing your job, so don't come back. The end of my old man. My old man, he was 51. What was he? to do. A craftsman molder of the gold in 1932. He felt he'd given all he could give, so he did what thousands of others did. Abandoned hope and the will to live, they killed him, my old man. My old man is dead and gone. Now I am your old man. My advice to you, my son, is to fight back while you can. Watch out for the man with the silicon chip. Hold on to your job with a good firm grip. 'Cause if you don't, you'll have had your chips the same as my old man.
And you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert. And I'll be with you for the next 2 to 3 hours on Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, a biweekly show, twice a week that is, that concerns itself with civil rights. Civil rights for the poor, civil rights for those who sleep outside, civil rights for those on the streets, civil rights for those under attack in Santa Cruz and elsewhere across the nation. We have a number of guests coming up today. It looks like a full day. I came into the studio, and who should I find but straight from court, Nutcracker Nick Whitehead, the head of SPAN.
Objection overruled.
Yes. Stop Police Abuse Now is an organization he and I both work on to stop police abuse, and he's been involved in numerous other efforts. He's a playwright. He's a reporter.
I'm great.
He talks a lot. Actually, I probably talk more than he does. We also have reports coming in from Kate Wells, who's going to be discussing various topics, including the Illegal Paralegal Services Club, a group which will hopefully help those who want to fight back against petty harassment tickets. She'll also be discussing local politics. She may be making a run for one of the local offices, and then she'll be talking about that. Also later in the show, we hope to snag Ed Fry, local attorney, sometime opponent of Art Danner at the polls, and recently an opponent of Art Danner, the district attorney, actually in the courts. And he had a court hearing, which he didn't quite win, but he didn't lose either. So that the battle for honesty in public office at that court hearing will be continued for about a month and then resumed. And we hope to have him in the studio to talk about that. We're also going to get a special call-in, we hope, from DeSoto, Missouri. Calamity Jane Immler has agreed.
Oh, Calamity! Hey, Calamity's still holding out in the hills. They dry gulch that lady, but she's coming back.
Yes, we'll try to dry gulch you a little later in the show, Nick, if you get closer to the mic. Step back from your radios when Nutcracker Nick gets to the mic. It's quite something. Calamity Jane is a longtime homeless activist here whose hunger strikes in the mid-80s, they were like the mid-60s, but they happened in the mid-80s, they set the stage for significant and fundamental movement on homeless issues, specifically the establishment of the first cold and rainy night shelter, compliments of Bob Lisner, in spite of the opposition of the city and the county, and the acquisition of the famous property at River Street, the River Street mini shelter, which is currently up in a matter of some dispute and will be the topic of another interview we're having by phone later today with open-air shelter director Paul Marceau, also employed by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Thank you, Nick. I see that at least I have one fan here. Perhaps we need a bigger fan to blow this all away. Anyway, that's Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. You were listening in the opening tape to Ewan McCall, a fine folk singer who, with Peggy Seeger for many years, regaled us with wonderful topical political songs, which I would love to hear more of in the mid-90s. I think that song was from the mid-80s. My Old Man, and you'll be hearing a little more of that later in the show. You'll also be hearing cuts from Street Dialogue, where I hit the streets with my tape recorder, go off and talk to different people about different subjects. Yes, thank you, Nick.
Robert, I'm a fan of yours, Robert.
Indeed, I can feel the breeze. So that's what's coming up on Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. But this isn't just a one-man talk show. This is a show open to everyone. We want you to call in with your thoughts, desires, feelings, reflections, poetry. Who knows? Outrage, songs, that refers to you. Feel free. We're still waiting to hear Hospitality Nazis. Phil is a singer who's gotten too disturbing the peace tickets for singing inappropriate songs on the Mall. Yes.
I like his songs. Mm. I think they're consumable material.
Mm.
Inflammable material, I mean.
Mm. Well, certainly it burns up some of the merchants, and they've been making complaints. And we may have an update on that as well, though I don't think too much has happened on that score in the past. We've been playing some of his stuff. That is to say, some interviews with people who have complained against him, some interviews with him, some interviews with witnesses, and some...
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, I retract my applause.
Oh,
I made a mistake.
You made a mistake.
I'm not supposed to applaud.
Sit down, Nick.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. All right, then. The phone number, again, is 427-FRSC, 427 Free Radio Santa Cruz, and do give us a call. And Nick, if you can, if you're not... engaging in bizarre sexual behavior over there, keep an eye on the phone, because I sometimes don't notice it and let people call and call and call and don't answer the phone. We don't have a phone that rings here because we are a radio station. We have a phone that blinks.
Wait, I'm watching the phone.
Good, good.
Robert wants me to watch the phone
yes,
for the
I
little
do.
Red light that
yes,
comes
I do.
On.
That's true.
Right, Robert, the phone hasn't moved
that's,
yet.
That's correct. He's got his eye on the phone, and I've got my eye on him. So that should be okay. So what are we going to do first here? Well, my goodness, we have a whole host of things to do. So let's start with a dialogue or two from the downtown hosts table. Actually, not all this happened at the hosts table, which, as our new listeners may not know, is a table set up by activists to monitor and contain the green menace, the green-shirted hosts who are appearing on the Mall daily to make sure that people don't sit down 10 feet from a shop, don't ask for spare change from a seated position, don't play hacky sack in the wrong places, don't walk their dogs on the Mall, unless of course they are wealthier people, and the question arises there. At least that's the claim by those who have been watching. Anyway, the hosts are a merchant-funded group concerned with enforcing the infamous anti-homeless downtown ordinances, and we're going to have an update on that. In fact, I'll give you the update on that right now. Yesterday there was a series of meetings pertinent to the hosts, the most important of which was the Downtown Management Corporation. The Downtown Management Corporation is the group on which sit Mayor Byers and Councilmember Cynthia Matthews, as well as numerous other merchants, which funds and oversees the hosts. And they meet once a month to receive reports from the hosts and discuss changes in the program. It's a two-year pilot program, according to the head of the Downtown Management Corporation. We were able to get to the meeting yesterday at 8:30. I and Huff Worker, Stubbornheart Star. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, a civil rights organization for poor people, which I've been deeply involved with for the last decade, more or less. Anyway, Star, Stubbornheart, has been the main person behind the effort to contain and monitor the hosts, to pick up volunteers, to go around after the hosts and observe their conduct or misconduct, as the case may be. And she reported to the group of merchants of the kinds of abuses that the hosts were observed doing, such as verbally swearing at individuals on the Mall, misinforming them as to their rights, then engaging in standard abuse, which is sanctioned by law, such as insisting that they move from where they're sitting, even though they're not blocking the sidewalk, harassing passerbys, or in any other way, just a moment, Nick, engaging in abusive behavior, simply violating Scott Kennedy's downtown ordinance, sit near a shop, go to jail. I don't want to simply single out Scott. It's also Mike Rotkin, Cynthia Matthews, and the whole clan last year that gave us those vicious laws. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, isn't, am I misunderstanding? I thought this was a tourist attraction. Come down and see the green-shirted hosts verbally abuse and cuss out the people on the street. Isn't that a sideshow sort of thing?
Well, perhaps that's a sideline of the hosts. The actual purpose of the hosts is multifarious, that is to say multifaceted, many-sided for those who want another synonym. It's supposed to be they are going to facilitate information that tourists, citizens, residents, anyone needs about the downtown area. We're okay, Nick. He's looking at our somewhat deficient board. Actually, I will turn things up a little bit. I hope you can hear me better now. Thank you, Nick. Okay. Yes, I've got to keep your eye on the phone, Nick. Keep your eye at your job. Okay. So, yeah, the hosts, This is all a prolegomena to a tape that I'm supposed to be putting on, so I'll try to cut it short. Anyway, these are some things the hosts do. The host watching table is attempting to get rid of the hosts. Frankly, we think they should be better employed than as wannabe cops, which is really that aspect that we really fundamentally disagree with, and that we find that they are most notorious for. Also, the proposal has been made, and I made this proposal yesterday to this downtown management corporation, that the hosts be turned into mediators, be trained in mediation skills, the downtown ordinances be annulled, rescinded, and otherwise dumped, and instead we have a reason and some kind of code, like the street performers conduct code on the mall. That was received in silence by the downtown management corporation. We'll have to see how that one flies. I have no idea what their response is going to be. We did get some apparently positive responses. We got them to agree to turn over statistics on what the hosts have been doing to us. We also got Sergeant Crane, who oversees the downtown mall, to agree he would let us see police reports. This is a new one to me. I'd be very impressed if he would do this. He said he would not let us see his confidential notes, but he would let us see his police reports. So for those of you who want to volunteer for the Hound Dog the Host's Table, the Host Roast, the Housebreak the Host's Effort, come to the table, which is right in front of the Host Downtown Informant Center, or the Downtown Information Center, as they call it, next to the Del Mar Theater at Lincoln and Pacific. I believe they're going to be up today, and Stubborn Heart Star should be there, along with other doughty workers like Christina, possibly Peppercorn Penny. Who knows? You too may get your own cute name if you join this effort. It's always possible.
Tonight, a commercial break for Sergeant Crane products. Sergeant Crane are very valuable products. I want to assure you, Nutcracker Nick wishes to assure you, this man is a more humanistic type of roboticized policeman.
Oh.
He's actually transcended the robotic condition and actually talks to us like an ordinary individual.
Uh-huh.
He sort of looks like a guy who's been up all night in a bakery shop. You know, he's got a rather pale complexion and he's sort of built like a doughboy.
Built like a doughboy.
But he's a friendly, sort of helpful blue uniform cutter.
Well, yes, actually, Sergeant Crane, or Andy Crane, as those of us who know him by his first name call him, he wasn't in uniform yesterday at the Downtown Management Corporation meeting, and he's gotten a good rap from Traveling Tom Noddy, head of the Street Performers Guild, or one of the heads, or there are many heads, sort of the consensus organization, I think, perhaps, I'm not quite sure. But he also is notorious for allegedly lying or misstating the facts in the Candlelight Kim Argula trial of January and February this year, when she was brought to trial for resisting arrest, that is to say, a bogus charge of which she was acquitted by the jury. The second and only such charge coming out of the downtown ordinance, sit on the sidewalk, go to jail, police riot of last May 1994. So, I don't know about Sergeant Crane. I give him mixed reviews. He's a friendly guy, but then again, so is Butchie Baker. Butchie Baker is very friendly with me. We talk all the time. He, on the other hand, is accused, with, I believe, some validity of molesting at least 9 women in the course of this job.
Oh, that's outrageous! I won't stand for it in my town!
That's right. Well, the city council stood for it, the DA stood for it, the state attorney general stood for it, and the grand jury stood for it.
You mean everybody standing by and just watching, huh?
Got it. That's it. Okay. That's Butchie Baker. So, anyway, however, he did produce some reforms. The current Toy Poodle Citizens Police Review Board is a consequence.
Toy Poodle! Very good, sorry to a Toy Poodle.
Consequence of his activities and the exposure given Butchie's activities. Or his alleged activities, let's be absolutely fair. Anyway, that was the first meeting yesterday that concerned the hosts. Then we had several other meetings which touched on them, but I'm going to cut directly to the chase here and then give you an interview or two from the host's table. Actually, let's let that speak for itself. We'll have Christina explain what the host's table does.
Pacific Avenue, the Downtown Informant Center, with their own police car parked right behind them. It's car 131. What's your name, though?
My name's Christina.
Christina, what are you doing here?
I'm hosting the Happy Host Table. We're taking complaints and ideas and suggestions for a petition to the City Council, and we're also taking complaints.
We interrupt this rendition of what's happening at the host table for a special call-in from John Stewart. John is our correspondent down here at the courthouse, or actually...
not a bit of it.
I see. Well, we like to think of him, I like to think of him as our correspondent at the courthouse. And John, you have a flash from the Santa Cruz County Courthouse.
Yeah, Robert Florey was taken into custody this morning.
Red Top Robert Florey, the homeless activist and Food Not Bombs, sometime Food Not Bombs worker.
Right. I tried my best to take notes on what they were saying. Wonton Dave Jacobs was not there. He was scheduled to appear also, and their cases were supposed to be going together in some way or other that I'm not sure. If you understand that, maybe you could give a quick brief on that.
Sure. Do you want me to do that after or before you?
Do it right now.
Well,
because I don't really understand how their cases are connected.
Right. Well, Wonton and Dave Jacobs and Robert Florey are both local activists and sort of gadflies whose behavior has actually been to some extent responsible for prompting the city council to pass anti-homeless laws. Not that their behavior was in any way bad. They simply set up a table on the mall and a two-week sleep out on the mall in a box about a year and a half ago, and first at Christmas and then at Valentine's Day for a week, and then the city council passed the anti-homeless downtown laws. They were charged with violating various laws throughout the last year, such as they had a 4th of July table set up and it was not in the way of people walking by. It wasn't a health hazard or a hazard to any kind of locomotion or a disturbing the peace hazard, but it was removed simply on the new downtown ordinance, under that ordinance, which states you cannot have an object on the sidewalk after dark, which might obstruct the sidewalk. Not which does, but which might serve as a hindrance. So anything after dark becomes the basis for a removal, and they were removed, and that's what at least one of their tickets was about. They were found guilty of obstructing, not obstructing the sidewalk, but having an object on the dark after sidewalk, as well as, I think, in various cases, of sleeping after 11 p.m., the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban, which makes it illegal for three-quarters of homeless people outside to close their eyes and fall asleep in Santa Cruz. So they went to court, they were found guilty on all these charges, and they were offered or told to do community service, which is the program which they term community slavery, in which you have to go in, pay $25 for the privilege of applying, and then go to work that's dictated by the community options group or the community service group, whatever it calls itself now. They refused to do this. Various judges said that they would hold them in contempt of court if they did, and this was a hearing on what to do about them for refusing to do community service. That's my understanding.
What happened to their appeal over in, wasn't there an appeal over in San Jose on that?
Yes, there was an appeal earlier this year, I think in April or May, and Wonton Dave Jacobs made that appeal, arguing a rather obscure, and I feel kind of not the best case, but at least he was doing it without any kind of legal help, all on his own. Thank you, American Civil Liberties Union.
Yeah.
You cannot put a person in jail. You cannot force a person to do community service. It's illegal. You cannot. It's a form of involuntary servitude. And I wish I had Dave Jacobs here in the studio to discuss it, and maybe Robert Florey, once he gets out of the can, can come in and discuss it. But that appeal was denied.
Okay, so... Well, I'd like to differ with you about the whether or not they had anything to do. I think the city council cites their civil disobedience on this their peace vigil as an excuse, but they were going to do the downtown ordinances regardless, is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, the judge called Robert up, and let's see, let me get my glasses on here, read my notes.
I want our listeners to note that we are not in any high-tech thing. We are real, honest people giving reports. None of this puffy, fluffy, soft hair types.
Really?
John Stewart hasn't got much hair left. So
really? Yeah. The judge says that they were dealing with the same issues as Jacobs, and it's Robert told the judge that to offer him the choice of doing community service or
paying a civil fine?
No, going to jail.
Oh, okay.
Was a violation of due process because he wasn't getting an attorney to defend him on the contempt charge. But the judge said, no, that's not true. The sole remaining issue is what choice you will make. And your choice is to go to do voluntary service or be remanded to custody. And then he said he would again hold him in contempt if you refuse. Robert said he asked the court to appoint him an attorney to defend him against the contempt charge. And the judge said he's not going to appoint him an attorney. His choice is to do service or go to jail. And Robert said he did not recognize the court's authority to offer him that choice, that it was a violation again of his due process, and he requested the court again to appoint him an attorney. And then the judge told him, you're in contempt, and admonished him that he has to make a choice.
What judge was this?
I don't know his name, Barton?
Yeah, that could be.
Gray beard, gray hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. In any event, Robert then again replied that his decision is that it's unlawful to hold him in contempt without assigning him an attorney. And the judge says, well, in that event, it's his decision to remand him to custody, and that was it. So they set Robert down and handcuffed him and took him away.
And then how many days in jail has Robert been sentenced to?
I didn't catch that, I'm sorry to say. But if possible, if he's still in there on Monday, Robert, maybe you could get him to call you on your show.
That would be great. Yeah, well, I will try to get my feelers out. Maybe we can even get a writ of habeas corpus going. I'll ask Kate Wells when she shows up, hopefully around 11. Hopefully.
Yeah. Anyway, in any event, it's one of these incredible bureaucratic catch-22s where you're accused of a more than an infraction, which would mean under ordinary circumstances you'd have to have an attorney, except that in this case you don't. Right.
Well, actually, I think Barton is making new law on this subject.
Yeah.
Other judges have found otherwise, but I want to thank you for calling in, John. Is there more you want to add to this?
No, just that it's the usual justice going on.
Well, from the courthouse, that's our man on the street, the reporter, Uncle John Stewart.
Keep on keeping on.
Hey, thank you, John.
Can I just add a little bit again? Sure you can. Back in the studio with Nutcracker Nick Whitehead, who actually was also at court, and not only is a splendid comedian, as you can hear from his earlier repartee, but actually has a report on what happened. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, this the atmosphere in the court was very tense between Judge Barton and Robert Flory. Robert is an extremely quiet, long, red-haired, we call him Red Top Robert. He's very pacifist by nature, but he's also a very determined struggler. Barton, on the other hand, is like a real straight, cut-and-dried judge, the one who prosecuted Al Hemp. What's his name? Al?
I know the man you're talking about, and his name is also Fled Me. He was Hemp Seeds. He had
Hemp Seed Al, let's put it that way. Barton is the one who prosecuted
Alan,
the Hemp Seed Man, and persecuted him to death about some mushrooms that they found in his house during a police drug raid.
He okayed an illegal search warrant and continued to okay until that was struck down by a higher court, I believe.
Okay. So it was really not a match of equals here today. Robert was on his own, did not have an attorney, and was being threatened with jail. He tried to speak a line of defense on principles. Everything that Robert Flory has done has been on the highest principles, setting up a cardboard replica of a shelter on the Pacific Garden Wall with Ron Tondave was done in full consciousness. It was done in a polite manner. They weren't out to create animosities with either the police or any segment of the public. They were not in a state of animosity towards the business community. And during that October occupation, the present police chief, Belcher, actually came over and kicked Robert. Robert told you that last week. Kicked him quite hard with his boot. So when you meet these high officials, you know, their demeanor may be very polite in a public gathering, but what's it like at night or when nobody's around? So I wasn't surprised at what happened to Robert today. But there was this horrible resolute tone in the judge's voice, you know, I gave you these two options. The judge didn't even consider whether Robert should have an attorney to have his rights put forth before the judge as to whether you could ever jail a person for simply refusing to do what the judge called voluntary community service. The judge said, I had sentenced you earlier to voluntary community service, which is a total anachronism. And Robert Flory, this is my last point, Robert Flory did refer the judge to a specific court case, a historical precedent, where a person was not allowed to be incarcerated without having an attorney provided by public funds. So there's something that might be a legal issue there.
Actually, Robert is no stranger to jail for peacefully resisting these unjust laws that are selectively enforced against poor people and designed specifically to be used against poor people. He was similarly found in contempt of court by Judge Heather Make-It-Up-As-You-Go Morse, another judge in Watsonville. She's also been in Santa Cruz at different times. Paola Bartons, who, all these people are out of the DA's office. Five out of the six sitting municipal court judges are former DAs. The only public defender judge tries to prove he's even tougher than the DAs. That's Richard Many Faces McAdams, as I call him, a good enough guy in other respects, often fair, but also very abusive at times. No friend of the poor. None of these judges are, in my opinion. Anyway, Flory was in court. Red Top Robert Flory was in court before Heather Morris on something similar, where he was arrested at the town clock and the Iraqi peace vigil for sleeping, when there was no, and I underline the word no, legal place for homeless people to sleep outside, and he and hundreds of other people were in an illegal status. And Morris found him in contempt when he refused to pay a fine or do community service, as he did on this occasion, sent him to jail. And he successfully argued from jail through, I believe it was Judge Stevens, could have been Judge Black, a Superior Court judge, again, not usually any friend of the poor, but in this case forced to abide by the law, that he had not been given an attorney, he had not been given a contempt hearing, he was summarily sent to jail. So the fact that Barton is doing the same thing either shows that he feels he's got friends in high places, he doesn't care, perhaps he thinks that Flory will not be able to muster the resources to get a writ of habeas corpus. At that time, his friend and apparently a co-defendant in the case, Wanton Dave Jacobs, was in town, and he had more a prospect of actually getting a writ of habeas corpus. I don't know if I certainly don't know how to write one, and we'll be asking, hopefully, the two attorneys that come into the studio today whether they want to help Red Top Robert. Maybe they can visit him in jail and find out what's going on. In fact, I'm going to ask Nutcracker Nick to walk up around the corner a couple blocks down the street to to see if we can find that attorney. Anyway, that's the story from the courthouse. We interrupted a somewhat milder segment of our show. Although, if you want to call in and make any comments about the Red Top case, if you're having problems of your own in court that you wish to bring to the attention of the public through Free Radio Santa Cruz and Bathrobes Pierce Broadsides, the show you're listening to here at 96.3 FM, give a call at 427-3772. The lines are open, and I am keeping a weather eye on the telephone. Until you do, however, we'll continue with a few segments from the downtown hosts table. You'll get to hear how the hosts are doing, and not just how the hosts are doing, but different interviews that happened around the hosts' table.
A little while ago, I was, observed a patron walking down the street, dressed very nicely, beautiful clothes on. She was walking her dog. A host came out, said something to her. She dog. I flagged her down, asked her if she would come over, and asked her if the host said she could not walk her dog down the on the sidewalk, and she said that was correct. She took a complaint form and said she'd be glad to help us. She was on a break from work getting some juice and wasn't happy to be hassled, so she said she will be back. We're trying to come out here Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, and weekends, and as much as we can. We need more volunteers, and because this is getting out of hand. This lady was not only not doing anything, but obviously a big part of the community, and they're hassling people for no reason. We're trying to stop this, and this is the only way we know how to do it, and I wish I could use some help.
Where should people call if they want to help you?
People should call HUP. Let me see it. Get the number. I don't know it by heart yet. 423-HUP. Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. We're down there. Here's someone today. Would you like some information, sir?
I know. I spoke on the
Facebook. Oh, okay. We had a great confrontation on Friday, whereas one of the hosts, a black man named Greg, went down and talked to somebody over by the cage and started cussing him.
What is the cage?
The cage is the fenced-in parking space down here where some people sat and where the food is passed out, the soup.
Not Bombs Meals, or Sean Not Bombs Meals, depending on what day it is. So.
Yeah, that's correct. And somebody went down there and asked them to move and told them to get a job. And he said, he handed him a flyer that we were passing out, hassled by the happy host. And the guy crumpled it up and called him quite a few names, and he came straight to the table and filled out a very long complaint form in which he put his phone number on, said he had a job visiting from New York and didn't appreciate this, but he was a tourist, come down to visit a friend. And he,
both these men were the same race, to wit, Afro-American, right?
Yes, and he also told them that he said, do you think it was funny handing him a hassled by the happy host flyer? And,
you mean handing this fellow, the fellow sitting on the sidewalk, handing to the host a flyer? The host then said to him, do you think this is funny? Or?
Yeah, he said, do you think this is funny? And he said, no, what I think is funny is that you sold out, which proceeded to really piss him off because maybe he feels deep down inside that he has sold out, in which he proceeded to cuss the man, and they came down here. We had a confrontation right outside the Downtown Information Center, which is the little hovel which we keep them in. I was impressed, I have to admit, by the happy host because he knew that there was trouble brewing, and he turned around and walked away. I was up for the excitement, but we didn't have any. We've got complaints, and he's pressing charges with the police station.
Who being Kid Lucky, the fellow who was...
Kid Lucky from New York. He has a job. He left his phone number.
Kid Lucky is the man who host Greg told to move and cussed out?
Yes, he is. And he's visiting here from New York, only be here about 5 days. And felt really bad as being a tourist and out here visiting to be hassled by these people when the tourist is supposed to be very important to this community in this town.
You know, it's interesting because I went to purchase batteries for this tape recorder 5 minutes ago. I never guessed the man behind the counter who sold me the batteries.
It's Greg.
Yes.
He works at Woolworth too.
Yes, he does. He works at Woolworth. So that's really interesting. So he's a man obviously struggling to get work, and the host program is unfortunate in that aside from being an anti-homeless program, it also seduces people who need money to do this kind of cheap labor. They run around and harass homeless people outside.
I was with...
Hey, how are you doing?
All right. Actually, we want to discuss one of your host-watching sessions on Friday,
yes.
Christina.
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to share with you, walking with Greg came out of the Information Center, and I decided to follow him and see how he was doing. We walked down over by Woolworth, and we discussed counter height, which I had been into Woolworth complaining about since I'm a disabled individual, that nobody can reach the counter. Even people that are walking cannot reach the counter. So I discussed...
You're a woman in a wheelchair.
And I'm a woman in a wheelchair, and I discussed it with the management. So Greg and I were talking. I was kind of following him behind, but he seemed not bothered by me sitting there talking to him. So we just walk down the street, and he says, see this guy sitting on the bench. If I wake him up, I'm an asshole, and you're going to write me up in your shit sheet. And I said, that's right.
Yeah,
and he said, well, I guess I'm not going to wake him up then. And I said, oh, that's very good. And so we proceeded to do that, and I, all of a sudden, I went a little forward, and the next thing I know, he ditched me. So obviously, he didn't want me to go with him so that he could continue to harass people. He ditched me pretty quick. I'm in a wheelchair, so it's kind of easy to ditch me, but...
But you're persistent.
But I'm very persistent, and hell on wheels at the moment, and just got a new chair to follow these happy hosts, and they haven't come out all day today. It's Monday the 25th. And they have not come out all day today, except for the one that did come out and hassled the woman that was walking her dog, and she decided to throw out a complaint and be right back, but she was on a break from work,
right.
And just getting juice.
You know something you can advise to people if they haven't got time to throw out a complaint is take their phone number, then you call them later in the evening and throw it out at a time more convenient for them.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's kind of hard to do on the streets because it's noisy.
Friday was a busy day for the happy host watchers. Christina, what happened on Friday?
Friday was a very, very exciting day. The hosts seemed to stay in their building for a long time. We stayed out here till 4 o'clock. About 4:15, we packed up the table and took the sign. As soon as we did, the host had stayed in. We had problems following them because they just would not come out. I guess they were a little intimidated by us, or maybe they just were lazy. Who knows? But anyway, we picked up the table and the board and took it back in. And as soon as we did, all four hosts came out. Two went to the left and two went to the right. Me and Star looked at each other and thought, what do we do now? And so when they seen that we moved, they went out. Oh, here we go now. Well, I'm off to follow this man.
All right. So you're off on one of your host hunts. I will join you as we walk down the mall partway to give our listeners some idea of the kind of dexterity that is necessary to follow these hosts. Now, I am actually running beside this person in her wheelchair as we follow host John about his rounds. John has paused briefly to have a drink at a drinking fountain. We hope he doesn't sit down in 4 feet of the drinking fountain because that would be illegal under the downtown ordinances, and John would certainly not want to violate that particular code section. What do you think?
Oh, I think he's a thirsty host, he says.
Thirsty host. Well, it's
a lot of hard work walking, hassling people, and get your mouth dry.
That's true. You gotta keep your tongue loose if you want to tell those people not to sit down on the sidewalk. So anyway, he's heading for the food court, Taste of the World, which is it a tasty court? That's the question.
Good afternoon, John. How was the day?
Kind of good. Enjoying a nice autumn day. Nice
to see
the beach blowing out the trees.
Indeed. Pretty day.
Beautiful day.
It is a lovely day. No question about it. It's not too hot, it's not too cold.
Right.
Unless, of course, the heat comes down on people sitting on the sidewalk. Which seems to be part of your job, isn't that it, John? Lamentably so. Well, I would consider sad, but that's the case. Here comes another one of our workers, Star, who may be able to take off where I've left off, so the two of you can all get some, three of you can all get some exercise.
I wish you a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Well, it's lunchtime at the
Hound Dog, the host table, but Christina has a report on a host who had his eyes open and was able to finger a criminal food dealer.
Yes. Somebody had bought a whole bunch of muffins for 15 cents and went down by the cage and was giving out free muffins, whereas a green-shirted host came up and said he could not give the food away, he could be arrested, and if he better move on or he would have them the police call.
When was this?
He said it was about a week ago when this happened. I asked him the name of the host. He wasn't sure. He asked what we were doing out here. I told him we were following the host. He then volunteered to follow a host himself. And
did he ever show up to do it?
Yes, he did.
Wow. So the cage, remember that? You mean Cat Garden Pacific where Putin Obama's feeds, right?
Yes, I do.
So what happened?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No, I'm with Crew Radio Santa Cruz, and I'm talking to
Sarah.
Sarah, you were here at Red Cat Garden Pacific, and it's about 2:20 on Monday, and you sampled some of the cuisine yesterday in the evening?
I hope
I bring the food out here.
You actually are one of the food workers.
Yeah.
And you're going to give me $100 for the... No, I'm just kidding. That's just, you have some money in your hand.
I'll tell you what we did.
Yeah, how did the food go yesterday?
It went well. We go around different businesses, places that have perishable foods. They give us fruit, they give us vegetables. We get a lot of bread, all different kinds of bread, and make like one kind of spread, like a garlic spread to go on it, something that everybody can eat, and it's not just food for homeless people.
Uh-huh.
We set up on the sidewalk, and to advertise and also get donations, we give free food to anyone that walks by. Uh-huh. If you're hungry, come get some food, please. We always have juice, too, for protein, because a lot of homeless people don't get enough protein, so it's good eating here.
And how long have you been doing this?
This is my fourth day.
And so how many days in a row have you done it?
Two.
So you did it Saturday and Sunday here over the weekend?
And today also.
And you will be doing it today?
Yeah.
What's on the menu for today?
The same thing it is every day. Just whatever people would give us. It's never...
What was it last night?
Bread. Bread and a garlic spread and guava juice. All different kinds of guava juice.
And what was it on Saturday night?
Same thing.
No filet mignon?
No filet mignon.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Keep up the good work.
All right.
All right, I'm on the mall here at 705 Cap Cod Pacific on...